Now, so two more things, and then we'll go right into God's word this morning. One thing is that I want to read through a text. You know, your leadership, along with our team, thought, you know, there's when we were here listening a month ago, there's a lot. Many of you have a lot of things in your personal lives that we might call, I mean, they're difficult, right? Stress, loss, change. Transition. So there's grief. That's what that means. And if you've been around for a while at Park, you've experienced a lot of change, a lot of loss. So many of you have lost friends, key leaders and staff. You know, so there's a lot of loss. And so it's a bit unusual, but the entryway now, I've never gone to a church, truth be told, where my first message related to loss and grief. But it's one of our realities. And in our life, I'll tell you a couple stories in a minute, but we're living that too. We have loss and grief in our lives. So God knows that. Interestingly, all through his word, he speaks to it. And so a key question this morning is what is it that God says? How do we do loss? And how do we do grief? We'll look at one little part of God's word this morning. And the second thing I want to say to you is people who look at transitions, think about this, say that every good and new beginning starts with a good ending. Some of us, we feel like we have too many endings to attend to or to grieve or to finish. The psalmist, we have it recorded in God's word. I want to read this, then we'll pray, and then we will consider these 20 verses this morning. Psalm 77, and I think you'll see it. It reads this way. I cry aloud to God. Aloud to God that he may hear me. In the day of my trouble, we just sang about dark days. It might say distress. In the day of my trouble or my distress, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. I think of God and I moan. I meditate and my spirit faints. You keep my eyelids from closing. I'm so troubled I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, remember the years of long ago. I commune with my heart in the night. I meditate and search my spirit. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love ceased forever? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? And I say, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the peoples. With your strong arm, you redeemed your people and descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. The very deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies thundered. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea. Your path was through the mighty waters, yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Well, so Father, we do gather this morning and we want to say thank you for the opportunity to come and to sing, to pray, to worship. We confess that there are dark days. If we're not in them now, Lord, we will have them. We remember Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble. But he said, I have overcome the world. So may we today consider what it is to be in dark times, to be in grief or be in loss, and may we look to you afresh as we consider your word. May you again, and may your word be a light unto our path. Some of us here today need a fresh sense of your spirit, a renewed hope. Would you meet us in your grace in our time of need? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, all right. So, you know, this morning, Matt was saying, what do you want to title this thing? I said, well, verse 2, it talks about distressed. Okay, a day of trouble, dark days. Some of you are right there. In fact, you're going to identify with the psalmist because you couldn't even sleep well last night because something's so heavy on your heart. Others of you remember it. And if you haven't had the opportunity to be in a dark day or a day of grief, it will likely come. And so this will maybe be a little preparation for you. I got to thinking about the word distressed. It doesn't always mean something negative. In fact, if you go shopping today, my wife Jan reminded me that distressed is like, there's distressed furniture. And there are distressed jeans. And it's actually, you pay a premium, you know, for those kind of things, don't you? And now, on the other hand, there are times of where our furniture gets distressed. It kind of looks like this, you know. And some of us feel that way a little bit today, that we don't pay a premium for that. In fact, we'll try to stay away, if we can, from these kinds of things, right? Some of us, that's like, well, that's sort of an image of my heart. Or, you know, and we got up this morning or maybe last night, and here's an image of being distressed. This is where the psalmist was, and now in the first 9 verses, did you catch this as we read it? What is it to be in a dark day, a day of trouble, as some translations say, a time of distress? Did you catch this? Let's go back and look at it. It's like verse 4, my eyelids, I'm so troubled, I can't sleep and I can't speak. Have you ever been in a place like that? But notice what he's doing. What's the psalmist doing? He's fervently crying out to God, the first verse here. He's so distressed, his soul finds no comfort, he can't sleep or speak. He's in deep grief. One commentator said, the deep grief of this psalm is like there's no intermission and there's no consolation. Little griefs, someone said, can be uttered. Great ones strike us dumb. This is where the psalmist was. So troubled. That word in verse 4, I am so troubled that I cannot speak it. The word means to be bruised, right? Have you ever been, like, had the wind just knocked out of you or been hit so hard, maybe in a car accident or something, that it took everything away from you? You couldn't think well. You were in shock. You couldn't speak. Several months ago, I did one of the many dumb things that I do. It was at the end of the day, and a little part of our gutter on the corner of our house was coming loose, and I thought, well, you know, I just barely have enough time before the sun goes down to quickly get the ladder out, put it up, and I'm going to fix that thing right on the corner. That was my first mistake, end of the day, and do it quick, right? And so I did, and the first time, have you ever done this? So what I didn't know is I'd just gotten home and the snow had recently melted, and on the side, I put the ladder up, got up to the top of it, and at gutter height, and the ladder started going. And I pushed by instinct everything this way, and I fell that way and landed here, and it didn't feel very good for a while. In fact, it is like this word. It hit me so hard that I couldn't think, I couldn't speak, it took the air out of me, and after the shock began to, you know what I'm, have you ever had something like that happen? Well, I went in to see a sports medicine friend of mine, and he asked, now, what did you do? You know, and I told him, and then he said, well, what were you thinking? I said, the problem was I wasn't, you know. And he admonished me and said, don't do that again. In fact, for those kind of things, you know, I said, well, yeah, thanks. You know, have Jan do that kind of stuff. Don't you ever do that anymore, you know? And so that's my prescription from my physician friend, right? But that I was so bruised, and like it just, you've had those kind of things happen. Now, but more importantly, the image here isn't just of a physical one. Sometimes we get so bruised, so banged, so hurt, and it's in our hearts. That's where the psalmist is. We've had those kind of things. We launched a ministry once, and we had this mix happen. I'll tell you, you know, I'm happy to talk with you more about this kind of thing, but we experienced as a family the betrayal of a friend, a profound leadership failure, false accusations, a loss of a dream for what this ministry could be, people who were harmed. It was one of the most difficult times of my life. I did not sleep well. I didn't know how to speak well. All I could do is pray and cry out to God. That's the kind of thing where the psalmist is here. But did you notice as he's praying? What's happening? He says, I think of God, verse 3, and I moan. So in pain and grief, even when we think of God, it sometimes isn't comforting. Have you been there? How's he thinking of God? Well, it says right that in verse 7. Check it out, because some of us are there right now. We it's a series of questions. The psalmist starts off by crying out and thinking of God as, well, like, will the Lord spurn or reject me forever? This is what distress is like. Never again show favor to me? Has his this is a bit of an irony. Has his unending love ended? Has his steadfast love ceased? Are his promises failed for all time? You know, I've studied his promises. I've been taught some of them. Like, are they not valid anymore? Has God forgotten to be gracious and merciful to me? Has he in anger shut up or withheld? Has he withdrawn and now he's just like holding back his compassion? This is distress. Now, what I want you to know is God's word, like, is honest about this. This is raw and honest, isn't it? So here's an opportunity we have in such times. Be honest. I like a lot of you around here because you have been. I've heard how difficult some things are from a number of you. You're being honest. You're acknowledging what is. And we also want to begin looking at what can be. But we start by being honest at what is, don't we? Calling out, who does the psalmist call out to first? 911? A friend? He calls out to God first. Do you do that? What's your first impulse with this kind of distress? Who do you call? You're going to seek out something or someone. You're going to call out to something. And the psalmist models calling out, first of all, to God. His distress drove him to God, who seemed at the time to have withdrawn. He's lifting his hands night and day, and as one Bible student said, in agonizing and persevering prayer, and he's asking hard questions. We can do that, can't we? Okay, well, this psalm transitions because there's a question here. How do we live beyond Psalm 77, verse 9, right? If you're like me, I go, man, that's raw. That's brutal raw. But that's how it is in my heart sometimes. So is there any hope, any direction? Like, now we could stop here, right? It'd be real encouraging. Distressed. Well, we have a choice. And we find that in verses 10 through 12. It reads this way. This is an interesting verse because if you read through the Psalms, some people translate the Hebrew like it is up here. And I say, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. That's like based on just the previous verses. Man, I thought I knew who God was, but I'm not so sure right now. And other translations say this, then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of my right hand, of the right hand of the Most High. So, it could be taken either way, but what this verse does is it transitions into like a choice that we have. And here, let's unpack that a little bit. The psalmist makes the choice of what does he do? He chooses, and there's three I wills. He makes the choice to call to his mind the deeds of the Lord and to remember the wonders or miracles of old and to meditate on all of God's works and muse or meditate on his mighty deeds. So in distress, when we lose track even of who God is and what he's done, we're going to do one of two things. Now, you know this. We can stay stuck up in the verse 9 thing, and if we give up on God, who do we rely on typically? Ourselves. What we end up saying is, people have failed me. I don't get God anymore. I don't understand it. And so the only person around here I can trust, have confidence in, is me. And so what do when we do that? That's one choice, right? We take things into our own hands. We cut off to self-protect. Or we numb, we can numb things. We can try to do that, right? In grief and in pain. Some of you have tried that, I'm going to drink. I'm going to take these drugs. I'm going to buy stuff. I'm going to sex stuff. I'm going to whatever to numb. We take things into our own hands. We pull away or numb to the pain, right? That's a choice that we have. The psalmist chooses to refocus on God, who he's going to argue here is really the only one that we can fully trust and place confidence in. When I take things into my own hands, I've noticed I make it worse. Have you? Maybe I'm the only one. The psalmist says, and I'm going to call to mind the deeds of the Lord. He's going to put things into God's hands. So he's going to be focused. That's the opportunity of this. The choice is to be focused on what? Remembering what God has done. Do you do that? All through God's word, there's a redemptive story of what God has done with his goofy, messed up people. And I think it includes us today. If you're new to this thing and just getting acquainted with the Bible, that's fine. But as you read it, all through the scripture, and we're going to look at one of the key incidents in the lives of God's people right before we close, a couple minutes. So what God has done, he's consistently rescues and redeems his people when we're willing to turn back to him and to cry out to him. When we remember what God has done to rescue and redeem, God becomes our confidence, and then we put things into his hands rather than take things into our own hands. Here's what I want you to remember today. In distress, we're going to, like the psalmist, we're either going to what? We're going to grab onto things and take things into our own hands, do it our own way, in our own strength, according to our own brilliance, and every time make it worse. Or we'll put things open-handedly into God's hands. That's going to be your invitation today. Well, here's the story. Why would we have confidence in God more than even ourselves? Why would we? Well, the end of the psalm talks about that. Verse 13 says, your way, O God, is holy. Verse 19 says, your way was through the sea. Your path through the mighty waters, your footprints were unseen. Now, if you know some of the Bible stories of the Old Testament, these verses at the end of Psalm 77, what's it talking about? Yeah, parting of the Red Sea. Yeah. So the psalmist goes there in remembering what God has done. So God's people are like in slavery, servitude in the land of Egypt. And all these things happen. The story's right in the Old Testament. Moses is appointed to lead them out. Okay, now, so they've got these people. Can you picture this? You're one of God's children, right? And you've been in bondage to slavery, picture of our sin. And now God's going to make a way for you. So you're following Moses. Can you picture this with me? You got all these armies of Egypt on your tail, and you come up to a big old body of water. Moses is leading. He listens to God, raises a staff. A miracle happens. The water parts. Now, guess what? If the people would have said, "Oh man, that's risky to go through the water," you know, I think I'll wait and see what happens, or, you know, let everybody else go. Maybe I'll go later. But what happened? What happened is they walked through, and then those waters collapsed on the enemies of God. That's just part of the story of God redeeming, making a way, a surprising way, through and out of a very painful, difficult situation. That's some of the imagery. What's God's path? One reason we can have confidence in God is His path is holy. It is distinct. It is separate. It is surprising. It is pure. It is beautiful. It's often in the light. It is also through the sea. See, now that like really surprises a lot of us. The idea there is what? It's in the depths. It is walking in a path that God's going to make, but man, it won't make sense when we first look at it. It's through the mighty waters. In distress, we will either take things into our own hands and go our own way, or we will follow in God's path. Now, I want you to do something with me for a minute, and then I have a closing thought, and I'll pray, because we get to share in communion this morning. This is also a nice, nice bridge into our time of communion. So some of you right now have some sleepless nights. Some of you are in this profound grief in your personal life or other things, or just huge stresses. I mean, I've heard stories. Some of you have recently moved here. Some of you have lost family members. There are all kinds of things going on in our heart and in our midst, right? So picture this. My inclination, and I'm going to suggest I'm not the only, like, strange dude here. So my inclination is I want to grab onto things myself and manage it because I don't know who else to have confidence in. And every time I do that, outside of God and His grace and His way, I perfectly make it worse. Every time. And I get lost. I'm in the ditch somewhere. Now, God's way is one of holiness and is one that is through. It is not around the sea. It's not taking a sailboat cruise on a calm sea. It is through the sea, right? And so are you willing to kind of say, I'm done. Today, I want to kind of be done with just taking it into my own hands and doing things my own way and in my own strength. I'm willing to open my hands like the psalmist did to God. And I'm going to not only pray with open hands, I'm going to release this and choose to walk in His way of a surprising holiness and a surprising pathway through the depths and through the darkness. The people of Israel, by the way, did that as a community, not as individuals. That helps us too. Here's my last thought, and we'll pray. If you're paying attention to that last part of Psalm 77, it talks about here, this is a work of God to be remembered. It's one among many. We do benefit by meditating on what God has done. God, in this case, brought His people Israel out of Egypt. He delivered them by his power. He redeemed them by a price. He divided the sea before them in a surprising way was made. He took his people under his guidance and protection like a flock, says the last verse. This was through the agency of Moses and Aaron. Now, this was a prelude to what God would do in and through Christ. A little bit later on, for us as God's people, he brought us out of slavery. Not always out of Egypt, but a slavery of our own sin. He delivered us by his power. He redeemed us with a price. He divided the sea, as it were, before us. He made a surprising pathway by his grace. And he takes us, his people, into his guidance and into his care and into his protection like a flock. And he uses pastors and he uses you as an agent, as an under-shepherd representing Christ. And we are blessed with that even today. We celebrate that in our time of communion. Be honest. Be raw, brutally honest about how distressing things can be, even in your grief. Right? Yeah, be focused. When you don't know what else to do, be focused in prayer on what God has done. He has, he is, and he will make a way. What's his way? His way is one of holiness, beauty, surprising, through the sea. Be aware of that. Father, thank you this morning for a little portion of your word to us. This guy, Asaph, we don't know much about him that apparently penned this. He may have transcribed what David wrote, or maybe he was one of the musicians, probably, and they sang this song. Your people used to sing this song in days of old. A brutal honesty about days of distress, days of grief, days of darkness that we experience, that people around the world experience today. So, Lord, bring this home to us as we sing, as we share in this time around the table, as we contemplate and remember what you have done, your great act of redemption, the price, the privilege that we have in Christ. May we again acknowledge that your way is holy and your way is through the depths. Thank you that you are in us and with us. May we as a people walk together, sometimes in distress, always more focused, and being aware of your beautiful ways. Take our open hands now as we come before you in song and in sharing of the bread and the cup. In Jesus' sake, amen.